just so much, much. Not so much. It's News According to Me. Hey, good morning. Oh, you know what? I totally forgot. I was going to get my cup over here. I can't reach it from here. How am I going to do that? I'll have to try to reach over there and get it. Because I know you're going to want to know what's in that cup. I actually have chai this morning. I am at the worldwide headquarters. There's always a different attitude here, you know? I don't know if you've ever noticed it or not. When I'm sitting here in the studio, it's kind of like being behind the golden microphone, I would imagine. I suppose Rush probably would only want to do his show behind that golden microphone. And it's kind of the same kind of vibe. It's totally not nearly on the same level or par with what he's doing there, but what he did there. But I would imagine there was a certain kind of groove you get into when you're in, you know, behind that particular microphone. Get that, everything's kind of all set. It's kind of designed around the space around your brain, you know, have his brain tied behind his back kind of thing. I would imagine that there was probably a very special kind of vibe that he had at that point. And I'm messing with the microphone here as I speak because it's a little askew. Now I'm realizing it's turning. What is going on with that? All right, anyway. So I need to get my cup. My cup is over there, and I'm over here. And I know that you're going to want to know what's in it. I can't really hardly continue this show without it. Something's got to give here. So I'm going to try to reach over here. I'm a long ways from the microphone right now, but I can at least reach my cup. Okay. All right, I made it. I made it back. That is some chai right there. I have some paperwork here. I need to take care of that a little later. I won't forget it. Put that over there. Big fat checks floating around here. Got to make sure I deposit those. Obviously, helps with the cash flow when you make sure you deposit those. What are we going to talk about today? What should we talk about? It's Friday. Shabbat Shalom to everyone. I have a lot going on today. I'm going to be transporting my body. I have to drive down to Dayton, Ohio today, later on today, after I go to, I got a little appointment. I got a date today with my wife. I'm going to go out for a late lunch, early supper thing. To Cracker Barrel, because today is fish day. They have a cod fish there on Fridays. It's one of my, my vices, I guess. I happen to like places, any place that has sweet tea that does it right. And they usually do it okay. We have a peach tea there now, too. So got some flavored teas. But I just like... any place with sweet tea and a good fish and chips or fish, whatever, you know, as long as it's white fish, some kind of cod, typically, as long as the breading's not too bad and, you know, it's not dry, I'm on it. So that's what I'm doing today. Got that going on. In the meantime, there's all this stuff happening out there. I don't know if you guys paid any attention at all. I've kind of just started getting caught up again with the whole news cycle. And I have to say, I'm not really thrilled about it. The news cycle has, what do you say about all this stuff? We have so much going on, and I'm just gonna go to my subscriptions here on YouTube. I'm just gonna go through some headlines here. CNN's falling apart, by the way. If you haven't noticed, CNN is a mess. They've done this thing. What was it called? CNN something. CNN Extra or whatever it was called. I don't know what it's called. They totally messed up their whole platform. They're nuts. These people are nuts. They think that people will watch them just because they are CNN. And of course, they have to in airports. That's what ends up happening. So they think that they got this ready-made audience. There are people who don't want to watch them. It just happens to be on. And they got this crazy thing going on with this thing. I don't understand. Their thinking is... And of course, Chris Wallace has got to be just seething right now. Look, I know how these people think. Chris Wallace is he's an establishment guy. And he has an ego the size of Montana. Well, that's nice. I can hear a car outside. Speaking of soundproof booths, I'll be getting a soundproof, I'll be getting a whole different recording experience at my home. It's actually going to be better than I have here at the studio in terms of sound quality. It will be really hard for me to justify this office after that. I mean, I can still do work here, but obviously I've done very well here at this particular studio. However, I will be able to ramp up my situation at home, which means why come into work, other than the fact that it's my groove. Gets that vibe going. So they had this thing. It was a paper. Nobody would pay to watch CNN, I don't think. It just happens to be there. And they're trying to charge for this other service that was, of course, Chris Wallace was on there. And look, Chris Wallace probably thought he was holding Fox together. He was the voice of reason, the top dog. He was the one who held it all together and had the balance of... He was the one who was all fair and balanced. He was Mr. Fair and Balance, much like Anthony Fauci is science. He was the fair and balance of fair and balance. He defined fair and balanced. It was in his head. And of course... He didn't want Trump attacking Biden over the whole laptop issue. He wanted to move on from that. I want to talk about something else. So do I. Biden was like, oh, so do I. Yes. Yes, so do I. Yeah, let's move on from there. I don't want to talk about this. Of course you don't want to talk about it. You just happen to have Chris Wallace on your side in the whole thing. It's how much more obvious can you get on that? Ridiculous stuff. Anyway, I don't know if you had any. I'm talking about the debates, by the way. I'm probably skipping ahead for those of you who don't know that during the debates between Trump and Biden, there was this ridiculous exchange where Trump was actually confronting him about Hunter Biden and the millions of dollars he got from Russia. Biden didn't want to talk about that. And Chris let him off the hook. And now we find out that the whole thing was true. This is when he said, 50, 50. I think at first he said 30 or something. And he said, no, 50, 50 intelligence officers have signed off that's all a Russian hoax. No, they didn't say it was a Russian hoax. They said it has all the earmarks of a Russian hoax. See, they protected themselves by saying that. Well, this has all the earmarks of being a Russian hoax. But we're so smart, and we're so good at our security job here. We get paid billions of dollars to get fine security. But we can't figure out whether or not it actually was a Russian hoax. It just has the earmarks of a Russian hoax. We can't dive any further back into that, because you know we're just unable to do that. Because we only have billions of dollars. We need trillions of dollars in order to be able to do that. These people are either incompetent or they are blatant. Yes, I'm going to say the word, treasonous liars. They pretend like they have the people's interest in mind, and they do not. There are certain people who they have interest in mind. I tell you, it has gotten very alarming the more you dig into it, and it's been really very depressing almost in some ways to find out that our intelligence services and those who are sworn to uphold and defend the Constitution and to, you know, the ones who are supposed to have some integrity and not have politics involved in what they do, they've been completely overrun. And they've weaponized. I said something about this yesterday. They have weaponized these agencies against the people. Trevor Loudon has a little show called Counterpunch. Did an excellent job of laying out I can point out the problems. I have a hard time finding solutions to some of this stuff. How do you fix this? If let's say Trump comes back into office in 2024. How do you fix that? How do you go after the deep state? How do you change something that is so entrenched? It's been entrenched for over 50 years now. These people don't get voted in. They find their way into power. This is exactly the way dictatorships happen. This is the way they do things, and this is the way communist regimes take over. When Che Guevara went into Cuba, he had very few people in his little group, his little band of merry men, who went in there and overthrew the country. They got a grassroots movement going, basically based on false promises and all these lies. And then they put themselves in the right places, the media and the propaganda. And it follows the same track every time. They start promising free stuff. Well, you need to have this. The government should pay for this, and the government should pay for that. Well, the problem you have with that is when the government is for, of, and by the people, it's the people paying for it. It's the people who produce. It's the people who work hard, do their jobs, are willing to sacrifice, to take risks, to take chances, and then these things are just, and we just kind of, oh well, too bad, oh well. Amazing. It's just amazing. We're just gonna, those greedy rich people. Most of the people I've talked to who are successful. Now this is something. Hopefully this will be encouraging to you. There are I've because of past jobs I've had fairly close working relationships with owners of big companies. I've never been an owner of a big company, but I've at least been able to rub shoulders with and talk to and chat with, on rare occasion, with people who are rather large moguls. You probably wouldn't know who they are. It's not nobody like Bill Gates or nobody that's in the news necessarily. But people who have worked themselves from, some of them have gone from nothing, living on welfare, to owning massive nationwide, worldwide companies. And a common thread you will find among these individuals is that most of them have at some point been broke. They have filed for bankruptcy and or they have literally started from nothing. or started over with nothing. Now, there's something to say for when you've got nothing, you got nothing to lose. Which there's some truth to this ability to, you know, to have kind of reckless abandon because you have nothing to lose. It's you're a little bit more likely to kind of let go of that, of what you don't have. However, nobody's truly completely broke. Everybody has something, at least in this country. And it's one of those things where if you, even though you have, some of the greediest people I've known have been poor. Some of the most generous people I've known have been poor. And some of the greediest people I've known have been poor. You see, that having money or not having money does not necessarily cast your character. I've known some people who have said, well, I would make a really good millionaire. I'd be a good millionaire because I'd be really generous. Well, you're not generous now. What's going to change when you get a bunch of money? Most people, when they come into money or situations of power over others, they start to push that weight around. They want to be the big fish in the pond. Let everybody know that they're going to get their way. That's what usually happens to most people who go down this road of all of a sudden they came from nothing and didn't have money to now they're the big shot. They're going to start showing you how to live and showing how to you. This is what happens. And this, unfortunately, this is what happens so much in Congress. These people get a taste of power and they can't leave. They can't stop. They don't. They got all this respect and dignity. There was a 4 or 5 star general, some guy with all kinds of medals on his chest, and he had literally served on the battle lines. It's not just some general who came from, you know, went through education and came in as a lieutenant and came in, you know, whatever. He was already an officer before he even started going anywhere. Never served on the battle line. Never got shot at. And I'm not saying that's not worthy of respect. I'm just saying that these individuals who are there, and then they start thinking that they're so smart. They're in charge. And we're supposed to respect them. That's not who this guy was. This guy didn't command respect, or I should say demand respect. He didn't demand respect. He commanded respect because of what he'd been through. He was before Congress. A Senate committee was asking him questions. This happened, probably 10, 15 years ago. I'll never forget this. I saw this live. And this representative, I'm pretty sure it was a senator. It's a female senator. Talking to this military guy who, I think he had a Purple Heart, he had all this stuff, he had rescued half of his platoon or something. It was ridiculous what this guy had been through. Worked his way up through nothing but effort and sheer grit. And here he is, this honorable man standing before, you know, sitting before Congress, being asked these questions, and there was nothing, he didn't do anything wrong, but they were just asking him questions about some kind of military action or something was going on. And he called this person by their name, I believe. I'm not sure exactly how he said it. I think he said, yes, ma'am, or yes, something like that. She reprimanded him and said, you will call me senator. I've worked very hard for that title. Um, He was a, I'll say he's a much bigger man than I am. I don't think I could have had the composure that he had at that moment. But then I guess having gone through everything he's gone through, I guess he probably realizes the insignificance of her little game, her little issue. He's willing to just placate that because he knows who he is. He doesn't need her validation. I thought it was one of the most disrespectful things I've ever seen in my life. That she would demand of this guy to be called senator because she's worked so hard to get there. What, you got people voted for you. You don't represent yourself when you're sitting. And this comes right back to this whole thing of my philosophy of where we've gone wrong with the character, with the philosophy of so many in Congress. They believe they are in charge. They are sent to Congress to rule over us. Oh, on our behalf, of course. Of course, they just care about us. They care about the children. They care about the children. It's always for the children. I'm running again because of the children. Nancy Pelosi's out of her mind, and she's still running because, you know, because she cares so much about the country. She cares about the children as long as they're not in a womb. And she'll care about them once they come out of the womb, or at least, you know, once they've been alive for a few years. Maybe. I don't know. She'll feed them, she'll give them some ice cream out of her $50,000 freezer. These people have, you know, they get this complex. You're not there to represent yourself, okay? You're not there to demand respect from other people and to tell them how they're supposed to treat you and talk to you. The decorum. President Obama, during his term, was talking about Obamacare, this bill, and he said that that Obamacare was not going to be used for. I think it was. Obamacare is not going to be used for illegal immigrants or something to that effect. I don't think they probably didn't call them that, undocumented, whatever they called them. I don't know. People coming. It used to be you could say illegal immigrants. Illegal. I can't even say it. Illegal immigrants. And he was talking about all this stuff, and in the middle of it, he said something. He made this statement that was false, absolutely false. It was an absolute lie. Through his teeth, he knew it was a lie. And there was a sitting, I believe, Congress or Senate. This was a joint House meeting, of course, with the president giving. I think it might have been a State of the Union address. Nancy Pelosi was the Speaker of the House. And he said, "You lie!" And he was correct. He was lying. Nancy gave him a scowl and reprimanded him. I think he ended up having to resign over the whole thing. Didn't run again, if I remember right. That was all because decorum. He broke decorum. Yeah. Now we have the same woman who, in all of her self-righteousness, her indignation, her move of compassion for the House and the decorum thereof. This is the woman who tore up the president's speech, ripped it to shreds after he handed it to her. That's decorum. That's respect. Yeah. Can't see past your own nose. It's frustrating. It's all get out. I don't know. It's Friday. April 22nd. It is 1 o'clock, almost 1 o'clock in the afternoon Eastern Standard Time. I'm sorry this is getting out so late. I really had expected to get this done earlier. Went out to mow my yard this morning before the rain started, and I got out there. I got up about 6. I was going to get up at 6 o'clock. I got up at 7 o'clock, and I ended up getting out there mowing. I was just going to mow at least all the tall spots because I have to leave again for 5 days. I figure when I get back, it's going to be even taller. What am I going to do with that? And I ended up looking back behind me and noticing that there was a cloud of kind of bluish smoke coming out of my mower. And I thought, you know, that's not good. That can't be good. I thought maybe it was just because I was bogged down in some heavy grass there. It was a little bit damp. It's kind of wet. It had rained a little bit already. And so I thought, well, maybe it's just overdoing it here. I thought maybe it was a belt slipping at first. I didn't hear anything squeaking, but I thought maybe I'm burning up a belt somewhere. So I turned off the mower blades and I kind of got up on the sidewalk or on the driveway. And it was still smoking. And so I kind of zipped down the driveway back to my house. Got back to my house and was going to back it in kind of underneath the ledge there where the garage door is open. So I could kind of work on the motor, see what was going on back there. I was afraid it was just coming out of the exhaust, which means that there's something internally wrong. And got back there and looked underneath it. Oil pouring out of everywhere. So the oil that was burning was actually going down on the exhaust manifold, and it was just burning from there. It was kind of creating the smoke. But there was oil leaking out everywhere. Looked like it was coming out of everywhere. Just raining oil underneath my bar. So I pulled it back over to where I usually park, and I stopped it. Didn't run it out of oil. Really close to, though. I think I probably got close to running out of oil. So I got in there looking around, and it looked like it was coming out of the oil filter. It's really hard to get to. So I started it up again briefly and saw, yes, there's oil coming out from around the oil filter there. So I shut it back off again. At least it's just the oil filter. I think it's probably either blown an oil filter gasket, the oil filter has plugged up, something's gone wrong, or it just vibrated loose. I don't know. It could have just vibrated loose. It's very possible. And it started leaking. So it's a pretty minor fix, hopefully. Just got in the way of everything else. And I was trying to make arrangements for a hotel for this evening. I got to get a hotel tonight. And called up the hotel where I usually stay there when I head into Dayton. And they were full, completely full. Booked up. Got some kind of band conference or something in town. So I had to try to find another one. Well, I called the number that popped up on the search for this other hotel that I used to stay at occasionally. A few times I've stayed there. And it's north of Dayton. It's on my way down there. So I was going to stop there, and they usually give me a decent rate. And I got a hold of the reservation center, which never, I just asked her for the local number. I want the local number. No, I can't give you that. I can make a reservation for you. I was like, well, I want to talk directly to the hotel. They're the ones who give me the good rate. She came back with this rate. I told her, you know, what my discounts were. She came back with this rate of $240. This is your discounted rate is $240. We only have one room left. I said, well, that's unacceptable. That's more than twice what I usually pay. And I'm not doing that. So I finally found, while she had me on hold, I found the actual number to the hotel, and I got off the phone, called them directly. Sure enough, they have a room. I rented it. It was $79 for a night. And that's the way I like it. Ridiculous. So henceforth, I did that. So I'm not sure exactly what time I'm going to get in there this evening, but had to deal with all that. And then I find out, as I was doing all this, I was right before I called for the hotel thing, I discovered a charge on my account where I had transferred money somehow to another account. I never transferred money to that account. And it was like a certain amount. It was like so much. So I even had the cents and everything down there. I was like, what just happened here? Why did all that money get transferred? I didn't do any transfers. When I transfer money, it's a very even amount. Certainly no sense involved, and on more levels than one. And I ended up looking at the actual charge. Sure enough, it was transferred because of an overdraft on the other account, which means, and this, there was this place where, I keep my dogs, and it's this kennel place. Well, I paid one of the bills at the kennel for, it was $1,000, and they charged it twice. And so this little other account that I have, it's for just incidental stuff. I do it for this very reason because it charged $1,000 and another $1,000. So it charged $2,000 instead of $1,000. Well, that overdrafted, of course, and it went to my master account and took it out of there. It's a service I have. I have it set up that way to do it automatically so I don't have any overdraft fees. So it pops it out of my other account. So I called him up. I said, hey, you accidentally double charged me yesterday. Well, we don't show that. We only show you, we charge you only once. Thank you for your service. See you later. Bye. That's basically pretty much all. Okay, sorry, it's your problem. See ya. Okay. What am I supposed to do without this money now? So I called my bank. They're putting in a dispute. They said usually this happens, and usually they'll find the error and it'll trigger a return, but there wasn't any return initially established. I said, well, here's all their information. They're going to deal with it. They're going to dispute the whole thing and get the money put back in. But I had to deal with, people on hold, people coming. I had phone calls all morning long. And it took me till 11 o'clock, and then I had some other stuff I had to do at that point. And then another job came through I had to do. I was making customers just keep coming. Want me to charge them more money. I just keep charging them. So I just jobs keep falling out of the sky. I didn't even try to get any of these jobs. They just keep falling out of the sky for me, which is just great. I cannot believe it. What's funny is, it's normally when I'm working hard at it, at trying to get work, I usually don't, I don't even get this kind of work typically. That much, and it's just this stuff that's been like past clients have just keep coming, they just keep returning, which is just awesome. I'm pretty jazzed about that actually, so it's a good thing. So, needless to say, I have had a very eventful morning, so it's been that's why I'm so late. I've got all these excuses, and the dog ate my homework. So that's got all that going for me. Getting back to the news, the Ukraine, I'm hearing a lot of pessimism now coming from, of course, we just spent another, I think we sent another $800 million or $700 million, whatever it is, dollars over to Ukraine. Now, I have a real problem with, I watched Tucker Carlson had a thing on last night about this and was talking a little bit about how ridiculous this money just flowing willy-nilly without any accountability at all to Ukraine. No audit of how it's being spent, no nothing. Just it's there it goes. Close to $1 billion now again, and I guess they're including $500 million. This wasn't even in the initial payment to pay government officials, paying their salary, because they're in a very hard situation right now, and they're not making any money. The government's basically unable to collect taxes, unable to do any of that stuff, so they're in a mess. And Russia, of course, now a new guy took over the Russian army, whole military action. They put a new general in charge. The other one is probably now in Siberia somewhere. And this new guy that came in has been known as the ruthless individual. He was the guy who was helping fighting Syria, I believe. He's helping defend the Syrians. And he was known as being a very ruthless guy. And he changed the whole strategy there. Now, of course, Russia said they were going to back down, and as this is always the when the aggressor says, "Hey, we're gonna call a truce here for just a couple minutes. We're gonna stand down now. We're not gonna shoot anything. Don't shoot anything. Hold on. Wait a minute." All they're doing is regrouping. That's all they're doing. They're just regrouping. They're regrouping, resupplying. Okay, now let's start up again. We're going to start up fighting again. We're ready to start again. Let's go, keep on going. We're ready to go. The defender can't do that. Defender sits there and goes, "Hey, wait a minute. Stop shooting for just a minute. We need to get ourselves ready here to defend ourselves again." No, sorry. That's the time they pound on you when you're down. The aggressor in this thing is Russia. Okay, let's make no mistake about that. They're not just going in there to save the world from, you know, the Ukrainian terrorists. They're going in there. They are going to take over. They're going to put their own people in. Ukraine will be a Russian proxy state, which some would say that it's a NATO proxy state now, but that's probably not too far off. I don't know. It's just there's so much corruption there. It's you can't even fathom. I mean, if I tried to explain it and try to tell you how much corruption is going on there, it would take a week's worth of shows to talk about how much garbage is going on there. If you got into the details on any of it, in any one of the sectors that are there, in terms of economic sectors, it's ridiculous, and the Biden family is in the middle of that, as well as, and I'm not talking about just Joe Biden, I'm talking about his brother and his son and many others. And of course, there's others as well in Congress who are involved in this thing, which is why they're so concerned about Ukraine. Now, what bothers me is when this money starts flowing because the people are behind it. Oh, people are behind that. We better start sending some money there. This is just like the Clinton Foundation. When we had sent all that money to, was it Haiti? I think it was. The earthquakes or whatever it was that hit there. Tsunami relief, all that stuff happens. And you go visit these places, and they have nothing. Where did the billions of dollars go? Where did all that money go? When you can send $1 billion to Haiti, a country who I think where the average income is probably $26 a year, some ridiculous amount of money. I don't even know what it is. It's some ridiculous thing. And you send them billions of dollars. That island should be incredibly pristine, perfect roads, all the infrastructure you could ever imagine, and people making whatever amount of dollars. You know, just all the jobs should be there. There should be Walmarts there. Not that that's necessarily a good thing, but they should be a first world country now, not a third world country. They're barely that. Where did all the money go? And of course, the people in the government, they're saying, "Where did the money go? Where you got all this money? We haven't seen it. Where did it go?" Because they do this kind of stuff. It's this, "Oh, the people are behind this. We need to get, you know, we can put some money right now. It's a good time to get the money flowing." Because when the money flows, it siphons off to different places, and that's where they want it. That's how they do that. And that money gets somehow kind of flows back. As long as it's flowing, it keeps flowing back into their campaigns or into their bagmen around them. Places where they can actually control, because they can stop the money from flowing if they don't get what they want. There are kickbacks, folks. Let's just put it that way. Let's just say that Nancy Pelosi doesn't buy a $50,000 refrigerator freezer for her ice cream. She probably never even paid for it. It probably just showed up at her house one day because she did something for GE or whoever it was that makes that refrigerator. Do you don't think this kind of stuff happens? I guarantee you it happens. My father was in a position of, he was just a maintenance guy. He was head of maintenance at this factory. And he would place orders for, you know, stuff, just stuff as benign as light bulbs, whatever it was. Stuff that they would buy, you know, a lot of. So they were buying light bulbs, they were buying whatever, any kind of supplies, towels, paper towels, cleaning supplies, whatever it was. Lawn mowing equipment, groundskeeping stuff, tools, you know, disposable type stuff. And he would place these orders, and occasionally he'd run across a guy who would say, "Where would you like your new washer and dryer delivered to?" He'd say, what are you talking about?" "Well, when you place an order of this amount, then you get rewarded with a kickback. Where would you like your washer and dryer delivered to?" I said, "Well, I don't think the company needs a washer and dryer." "No, no, sir. This is for you. It's going to send it to your house." That's not the way this works. I'm not taking a personal kickback because we're using a particular vendor." And he actually, two times that I'm aware of, it probably happened more than he told me, in the particular case of this light bulb salesman guy, he said he hung up the phone and they never placed an order with them ever again. He canceled that order and he hung up the phone. This kind of thing is rampant. And you have to realize this still happens in Congress, among our politicians. These people who are supposed to be representing us are getting these kind of kickbacks, whether it's coming to them directly. It's just like the insider trading issues. You know, they'll make legislation that they know is going to affect the stock price of a particular item in a particular sector, electronics or whatever it is, or medicals, whatever it is. And they will invest in those things. Now, when you have a 401k, this is always the big crazy stuff, is when you have a 401k, I don't even know what's in my 401k. I don't know what I'm invested in right now. I have no idea. I know there's mutual funds in there, and those are all like managed by somebody else. I have no idea what's going on there. I could be invested in things that I would not even agree with. I don't know. I don't check on those things. And if the media found out what I was, they could look at my 401k and say, "Oh, he's invested in this and this. He's one of these people." I just have a 401k. I don't know what's in it. I'm supposed to watch out for all. I probably should be, but it's just like 90% of the people out there who have 401ks who just have a 401k. They don't know how. They just hope it makes money. They hope they don't lose any money with this rampant inflation we're seeing. Elon Musk. Let's talk about him a little bit. And I'll have to go. I'm just rambling on here today. Now, I'm not convinced that Elon Musk is the savior of the world here. However, I think he's got some common sense. And I think that he's applying some of this. I hope he doesn't get caught up and embattled in this, entangled in this Twitter issue thing. I appreciate the fact that he's going after him. However, I'm hoping that it's not a waste of money and time for him. He very easily could end up, Twitter is, if Twitter keeps going, most of these social platforms only last for so long. So the question is, will it continue to work once he's gone and once he doesn't have it? I mean, I would imagine if anybody could do it, it would be him, and he's going to, you know, keep the thing moving. But he wants to privately basically take it over. And I think he's going to accomplish this. Now, how it all ends up shaking down and what it looks like afterwards, I don't know how that's going to be. All I know is hopefully it doesn't consume too much of his time. How much could it take? It's an app. You know, it's just information app. It's not, I think he's just mostly concerned about, and who's going to buy it from him? How do you end up selling it? Well, I guess he's going to go back into public, selling off shares of the thing, I suppose. But he needs to make some permanent changes on that thing. And This is gonna be a game changer. If they stop silencing everybody, and let everybody get back to free speech again, I'll jump in. They're gonna see a huge amount of people jumping in. I was involved in Twitter at one point, and I do nothing with it anymore. I think I have a TNA to me account, TNA to me of the number 2. And I don't do anything with it. I haven't done anything with it for years. Back when I started getting shadow banned early, before anybody even knew they were getting shadow banned, I saw the writing on the wall there. It was happening to me very obviously. I think they took out a lot of little guys. They couldn't take out the big dogs. So it was too obvious. So we have all this money flowing to Ukraine, and it's just, there's no accountability for that. We have Elon Musk doing his thing, and then we have all these other headlines. I'm going to go through some of these headlines that we see here. We have, what do we see here? DeSantis down in Florida. They are pulling, I guess, Disney has, I guess, this ability to self-govern within Florida. They kind of are their own little state within the state. And they've been allowed to self-govern. I don't know what they pay in taxes. I don't know if they pay any property taxes. I don't know how they do everything there. I know that they are held to certain accountability with regard to environmental issues and some other things within the state. But my understanding is they're kind of on their own. They don't utilize any outside police force. They don't use it, kind of their own little incorporated town. And they kind of are their own little entity there. And that is at the privilege that the state gives them. That is that they're not entitled to that. And my understanding is that they are now going to take that away. That's the move they're making. And the reason is perfectly normal. It's a perfectly acceptable reason to me. It makes sense. Disney decided to get involved politically in the state of Florida. They started putting pressure on politicians about this whole bill that was designed to keep sex education out of kids up to, I think it was 13. 13? I don't know. Or maybe seven or eight. Maybe eight-year-olds, maybe. Eight-year-olds enough. Like third graders and younger. Don't have to talk about gender identity and all that stuff. And it's very true. These people are groomers. They are setting them up. Their little skulls full of mush. It's just ridiculous. But we have to talk about it. And it's perfectly according to Psaki Circleback. She decided that it was perfectly acceptable for kindergartners to talk about sexual orientation. I don't understand the perversion of these people. It's just, I don't understand it. On another side note, this is a totally left turn. Okay, it's totally out there. Have you heard, this is interesting the way this has been put together. There's a guy by the name of, I'm not going to say his name. His channel is called Black Conservative Patriot, BCP, he calls himself. I think he's half Puerto Rican, or is he half, not sure, but he's half African-American and the other guy. His wife is from South America, or Central America, possibly. And he speaks fluent Spanish. He also speaks English very fluently, and he has this really good channel, BCP. Look him up. He's a Black Conservative Patriot. He calls himself open source news, is what he calls it. But he's kind of limited what he can do on YouTube. He has another, I think it's what is it called? He's got another opensourcenews.com. Maybe it's his channel where he doesn't censor anything. He has to really be careful about what he talks about, how he talks about things on YouTube. But he very interestingly, he was able to put together this interesting conspiratorial type thing. about food shortages and what's going on around the country right now. There are some amazing coincidences happening. Food plants, processing plants, it's almost as if someone's sabotaging them. Now watch what happens on Wednesdays and Thursdays with food plants, food processing facilities and big companies. There's a strange number of explosions, fires, plane crashes. I think it was General Mills, I think. Plane crashed into a General Mills facility yesterday. Last week, there was an explosion and a fire at a food processing plant. There might have been two last week, actually. And there was one or two the week before. This goes all the way back into March. This stuff is happening. And it's always a Wednesday or a Thursday. But just bizarre. What are the odds? And it's just been very strange. Very, very strange. And he starts putting this stuff together. He's like, well, this is how does this, how could this be so coincidental? This is, and at the same time they're talking about food shortages, and all of a sudden this is happening. And again, this kind of comes back to one of the things that I hate to say this. I don't know that there's any real, I don't have anything to back this up other than just a gut feeling, knowing how these people are, that they're going to do something before the elections. They are not doing well with mopping up the problems that they've got right now. CNN has not turned around and started reporting news and started going after stories that they need to go after. MSNBC is even worse. Everything right now is all about Trump and his problems. And look, we found more text messages. Found this. Found a connection. Oh, so and so. I think now they're saying something about what's her name, Marjorie Taylor Greene. They're saying she's under arrest or she's going to court or whatever. All she's doing is testifying in something. She's testifying about something, and they're saying she's, well, it's because she's a criminal. She's been called before Congress or whatever it is she's been called for. I don't know, it's called before something. Yeah. So it's been just interesting as we pour into the weekend here. Now I am going to be able to do a show on Monday evening, and it may be a live show. It will be from Dayton. I'll have a little bit of time, I hope, a little bit of time to think about things. Tomorrow and Sunday, Saturday and Sunday, I will have very little time to do anything. I might actually have time to do something on Sunday morning. There probably will be a special over the weekend. Let me look at my schedule here real quick, just to make sure, see what's going on here. Tomorrow, let's see. Well, I'm actually going to be in Erie, Pennsylvania tomorrow night, and possibly Peoria, Illinois. Yes, on Monday afternoon, Monday morning, actually, probably before noon, hopefully there will be a show, or right around noon again, Monday morning. And then possibly a late night show, possibly on... That's Sunday. What is this? What is today? Is today Friday? I think I read my schedule wrong. Oh, well, that's interesting. I actually, I don't go in until Sunday. Huh. Well, that's interesting. So I'm a little bit off on this schedule thing here. Yes, I'm glad I looked at this because I don't go in until Sunday. So actually, it'll be Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. I'll be in Dayton tomorrow night. I will be in Peoria, Illinois, Monday night, and then Tuesday night I'll be in Dayton. And again, and then see what time do I actually get done on Thursday. That should work. Yeah. Craziness. Crazy craziness. This is, yes, I'll be in Little Rock, Arkansas on Wednesday. All day. So that will probably work pretty well. I actually will probably be able to do a show either, probably a late afternoon show on Wednesday and then an early show on Thursday. And then on Friday, I'll do another show Friday sometime during the day. Next week. That's the way that works. But anyway, I'm kind of glad to see that. Actually, I'm kind of frees me up for the rest of the day. Anyway, I will be... I have to change my hotel reservation now. That's kind of funny. It's a little bit funny there. Not super funny, but it's kind of funny. Once again, folks, thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in, watching the show. You're not really watching the show. Hopefully you're just listening to the show. If you're watching the show, then let me know because I didn't realize there was a camera on me. So yeah, that's kind of creepy if you're actually watching the show, but, that will be happening again. Rumble, as Rumble improves their little outfit over there, hopefully. Maybe things will get better. I'll be able to get live on there. If not, then maybe some other platform. Maybe Twitter comes back. Or maybe YouTube will straighten their act up. That'd be nice. That's not going to happen. Not putting too much credence in that. Once again, folks, Shabbat Shalom. Thanks for listening. Thanks for... subscribing, liking, sharing, all those things that you do with this particular podcast, whatever it might be. Once again, this is the news according to me. God bless. Have a great weekend.